You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 27th of August, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.3%. We'll have the details with Michael Wayne from Medallion Financial Group in a few moments. But first, a Flight Centre, which posted a 3% decline in full-year profit before tax of $213 million. And that's amid a challenging macroeconomic environment. But to tell us more about that and the direction of airfares, I spoke with its managing director, Graham Turner. Graham, thanks for your time. I'd like to start on the consumer. Do Australians have the financial capacity to travel? Because it would appear the major challenges that you've highlighted are global. So global geopolitical tension, macroeconomic uncertainty, tariff turmoil, or are there stresses on household finances impacting their desire to travel?
Look, that's a good question. I think generally, the younger market, you know, the under 30s, is struggling a bit for their travel, whereas the older market, from what we see, you know, the over 50s, seem to have plenty of capacity. The people who do travel seem to have the capacity to do that. So I don't think it's a economic thing from us out of Australia, from what we see at this stage, except for that younger market.
Now, while you say you're expecting ongoing turbulence for FY26, you're seeing signs of stabilisation and that these issues that we mentioned earlier are short-term and cyclical. What gives you that confidence?
Well, as you know, it's very hard to see into the future, and who knows what Donald Trump's going to do over the next few months. But I think people are getting used to him, and whether it's a good or not, I think people are getting a bit used to the Middle Eastern issues as well. Perhaps not so much out of our market in America, where, you know, the Middle East was quite a significant travel destination, but it's mainly that people feel safe flying to Europe through the Middle East from out of Australia. So, look, we don't know for sure, but it looks like people are getting used to what's happening. Even in America, you know, there was some well-publicised issues of people at borders in America, but generally we've found that concern has generally died down, even though leisure traffic to the States, from us anyway, is still down somewhat. But business travel is pretty flat, but it is, you know, people are just not, business travel, businesses are trying to spend less money, particularly on the travel and conferences, and that obviously, although we've been winning business, it certainly hasn't helped where people are down trading, but that's the nature of the beast. We think that will come back particularly well in the second half, but that's assuming no big disturbances in the meantime.
So how is all of this affecting where Aussies travel to? For example, how significant has the downturn been in Australian travel to the US?
It depends on when you're looking at and whether you're looking at the bookings or the actual travelling. But it went down, for example, in March, April period, sort of at the height of this disturbance, if you like. It was down about 15 to 20% out of Australia, but our Canadian business was down more like 40% into the States. So from what we see and what you hear from Qantas at the moment, you know, things are recovering for leisure travellers to the States, and there's probably a little bit of pent-up demand there as well. So probably it'll return to some level of normality over the next 6 months, but depends on what comes out of the States as well. There's still a lot going on there, as you know.
Where are they going to instead?
Well, it's been quite well publicised, I think, that the record numbers going to Japan. The Japanese are getting to the stage where they're even getting sick of Australian and other tourists, we think, in the hotspots. But also China, Vietnam's a real hotspot at the moment, as is, you know, Singapore and Bali, still very popular. So Asia has been one of the winners out of this, and you'll probably see Fiji as well coming back, rather than the longer haul Europe and the States. So you know, it's not bad for everyone, I guess.
Back to those ongoing turbulence that you're expecting this financial year, what kind of strategies do you have in place to address market volatility?
Look, we, like a lot of companies, are looking at a significant cost out program. We've been building costs, obviously, since what we had to do in COVID to get our costs out to survive. But also, on the other side of the fence, we need to improve our productivity. We've had some internal issues in Asia, which is basically we've dealt with. But so there's been factors, as well as the external factors, there have been internal factors, and improving our productivity, getting our costs out, are two of our major things. And we believe we've come a long way over the last 6 months. So they're the major factors.
I guess you can't talk productivity without talking about AI. How are you using it?
Look, definitely, particularly in our corporate areas. A lot of people in corporate, they do fairly simple point-to-point bookings with hotel nights. And the more they can do that and have control of that themselves through the use, and for us, through the use of AI, we can give them a lot of the easy stuff to do with the help of AI, so that our people behind the scenes are there to help them when they need unusual requests or things don't go right in their travel arrangements. So AI has been very important, and it'll be quite important, as well as a bit of a risk factor for our industry. It's also a very important tool to help us with those efficiencies and productivity.
An interesting line in your statement today is that you're working with airline partners to boost margins and to deliver savings to consumers. How, and does that mean cheaper airfares?
Well, look, it does to a certain extent, and you will see coming out over the next few months these early bird fares. But a lot of airlines now have these NDC fares, which working with them, we can actually, they're generally significantly cheaper. And it just tends not to go through the global distribution system. It's something that we can deal with directly and give, but as well as us making a better margin, give the customer a better price too. So that NDC, next distribution, is what's really driving that, Ricardo.
Finally, and you mentioned it a bit earlier, but last time we spoke, I asked you for the biggest tip for travellers at the time. And back then you said anyone going to the US needs to make sure they have their documentation in place because of just how strict US authorities are at the border. Has that changed, or do you have any new tips?
Look, the interesting thing is that, that hasn't changed. It's the same as anywhere. They have... increase their vigilance on that. But for example, I know I've got to go to the UK in a couple of weeks' time, and now Australians have to have a visa for the UK. It's not that difficult, but you just need to make sure you do that right. You've got to get the photo right and all that sort of thing. So that's making sure that you've got your paperwork right is quite important, and that's why I use a travel agent anyway.
Graham Turner there, the Managing Director of Flight Centre. Let's take a closer look at the share market now. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.3% to 8,960. 7 of 11 sectors ended higher. The best performing sector was materials, but the worst by far, consumer staples, that sector down by 5%. And it was dragged lower by a huge fall by Woolworths today following its profit results. Shares down about 14.5% today. The only other stock on the 200 to do worse was Domino's Pizza, off by 22% after it swung to its first full year loss in about 20 years. WiseTech also weaker by 11% today, and Flight Centre shares down by around 4%. The best performing stock though, Tabcorp, shares up 24%. So for more on today's market action, including his analysis of the latest inflation number out today, the monthly inflation indicator by the ABS for July, up 2.8% on an annual basis. That's at the top band of the top of the RBA's 2-3% target band. To find out what that means, I spoke with Michael Wayne from Medallion Financial Group. Michael, first of all, monthly inflation by the ABS came in hotter than expected in July, up at an annual rate of 2.8%. To what extent does that decrease the chance of a September rate cut?
The number was significantly above market consensus. So as you would expect, the market has revised lower the chances of a rate cut come September. Before today's inflation update, the market was expecting about a 37% chance of a further rate cut in September. That's now dropped off to about 20% chance for September. But for those homeowners with a mortgage, all hope isn't lost. The market is still pricing in a rate cut in November. But between now and then, the RBA will be in receipt of a lot more data and information. So it's a bit of a moving feast at the moment. But there's no doubt that after today's update regarding inflation, the chances of a rate cut or many more rate cuts is somewhat reduced.
Okay, reporting season kicks on. Can we focus today on Woolies? Net profit down for the full year by 17%, $1.385 billion. It's also slashed dividends, and the market really didn't like the news. What's your take on the result?
Another vicious earnings update reaction from the markets. We've seen CSL, James Hardie, Commonwealth Bank this reporting season all come under immense pressure. The interesting thing with Woolies was that although the result was, you know, negative in the sense that their earnings fell, many of those numbers were as expected or in line with the market consensus. I think what spooked the market to a large degree is how much Woolworths is trailing behind Coles, not only over the last 12 months, but also in the first few weeks of this financial year. So although the previous 12 months were expected by the market, what wasn't expected was how negative of a start to the new financial year Woolworths is off to.
You've spoken about its comparison with Coles. When I spoke to analysts ahead of the reporting season, they told me they wanted to know three things from companies and CEOs, right? One was the outlook of the US and implications for tariffs. The other was how AI is being used at its business. But the third big one was, what do these numbers say about the Australian consumer, given that the consumer is such a big part of the Australian economy? What do you think these numbers, you know, the likes from Coles, from Woolies today, are saying about the health of the Australian consumer?
So it's interesting in that the consumers definitely shifted the way in which they go about shopping. So we've seen volumes increase for both Coles and for Woolworths. But what the Woolworths numbers showed really today was that despite that volume growth, they're seeing price deflation. And that's a symptom of the fact that many people would be shifting their consumer choices, perhaps rather than going for the premium brands, paying premium prices. They are opting for more of the cheaper home brands and looking for value when they go shopping. And I think those numbers were reflected for both Coles and Woolworths. But the reality is Woolworths at the moment are probably feeling the brunt of it more than Coles. And it is interesting because we have seen, you know, the market cap or the valuations of Coles and Woolworths really level out after a number of years whereby Woolworths was by far and away the larger company considered the more premium brand. But yes, in the last period of time, that's definitely leveled out and Coles is certainly gaining traction on Woolworths and in fact pulling away from them based on the most recent updates from both companies.
There are a lot of other company reports out today, but which are the ones you've been keeping an eye on and why?
So WiseTech is another sort of ASX top 50 business that's been in the news for a lot of reasons in recent times. But today the focus went back on to the underlying performance of that company. And it's a business that's expected to grow tremendously over the next 12, 18 months. But what it demonstrates is that these high-flying quality growth stocks really need to deliver results over and above expectations to justify the often lofty valuations that they trade on. The numbers for the sort of FY25 period weren't too bad. But again, it's a case of the market looking forward and the outlook statement from management regarding the earnings and revenue growth for next year, FY2026, were on the softer side and underwhelmed the market relative to what the analyst consensus figures were. So that was a particularly interesting one, another large cap that's being ticked off as we come to the end of reporting season.
And finally, Al, what are you telling your clients right now and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
It's difficult because markets at a headline level are trading at very lofty valuations, whether that's here in Australia or overseas. So you look at the price to earnings multiples of markets and it's well above historical reference points. However, below the surface, you know, there are pockets of opportunity, if you like. We see value, particularly in the small cap area of the market. I know it can sound a little bit scary to a lot of investors, but I'm not suggesting it needs to be ultra speculative types of investing, but there are high quality small caps, you know, with market caps of $500 million to $1 billion that are generating very attractive revenue and earnings growth, seeing margins expand, and that are relatively shielded from some of the issues that you raise regarding the consumer, regarding tariffs. So that's a part of the market that if we look at relative valuation, they're trading at the relatively cheapest levels that they've traded in 20, 25 years. So that's an area of the market that we are seeing some value. You know, we also think that quality healthcare, for instance, again, these are large cap companies with, you know, billions of dollars market cap, companies like ResMed, for instance. These businesses are trading on multiples similar to the big four banks, yet the earnings growth that's coming through for many of these companies is significantly superior. So, yeah, there's a couple of areas for investors to consider.
That's Michael Wayne there from Medallion Financial Group, and he wraps up the podcast for this Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday. We've got profit results from Qantas, and we're hoping to bring you an interview with the CEO of Wesfarmers too tomorrow. That's Rob Scott. Don't forget, though, if you do like the podcast, to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click subscribe. See you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.